Good morning. This is Christine. I just want to make a little brief introduction to what you'll be listening to next. I introduce myself on the audio as Christine, from moderator from the Project Avalon Forum, which many of you listening to by this time will know that I'm no longer a moderator. I find it very interesting to take a few steps back in time and to see how much can change in such a abrupt way. I hope that everyone that listens to this will have a great benefit from it. It was recorded with a lot of heart, a lot of feeling, and a lot of truth. And just want to also state for myself that there is no ill will, nothing other than what remains in me at this moment is to speak the truth, to follow the truth no matter where it leads us. And so here I am speaking the second part of an interview now with Good ETXSG, who was a member of the Project Avalon Forum and at the current time is no longer such. Life moves on. Doors close and doors open. And I think it is with a great deal of heart, feeling, love, honor that we all move forward through this time. Thank you. All right. So this is Christine, moderator at the Project Avalon Forum. And today I have the honor and the pleasure of speaking with the forum member that is known as Good ETXSG. Many of you are very aware of his as the first part of an audio release we did. I believe it was at the end of September, October?
Yeah, around the September 23rd and then... Yeah. Again on October 3rd, I believe.
Okay. So since that time, a lot of things have been happening, I would suggest, in Good's world. I'm going to refer to him as Jim during this interview today because we know each other and it's an easy informal name for me to use. That way I won't be using his real name. It's his alias. I know there's a lot of things that we may be speaking about today, Jim. We had a little talk the other day, and I certainly know since we released that audio, it has brought about pretty much an avalanche or a tsunami of responses from people out there. Forum members, other people are contacting you. I've been contacted. A lot of healing work is going on, and it's just been hard to keep up with it. I mean, I haven't even myself been able to keep up with all your postings, so I apologize for that. I've read a great deal of it, but certainly not all of it. I also want to thank you really from a very deep place of gratitude for your grace and your manner and how you've been answering the folks' questions. You certainly know how sensitive all of these issues are and also how broad and vast the subject matter is that we're talking about. So I just, you know, hats off to you, and I'll take hats off for Bill Ryan, too, as I know he's been very pleased with the way that both threads have been rolling out for everyone. It's pretty amazing to see such a great amount of intelligence and civility being exercised on the forum. So thank you, Jim.
I've done the best I can. I've really... Of course, you know, when we first did the first recording of the conversation, it was in a very, it was done in a kind of very relaxed format. You know, my wife was in the background, my nearly 4-year-old son was there, and I was talking for the first time out loud on a lot of stuff.
Right.
That some of the stuff, a good deal of the stuff she had heard before, but I was talking. I was a little hesitant because she was walking around, and I was like, "Okay, now how is she going to react to some of this stuff?" Mm-hmm. But after Christine leaves, I'm going to have a lot of questions,
right?
You know, so I was on a number of levels. I was a little nervous. That was the first time since the entity detachment situation that I was pretty much clear and able to talk about it without locking up.
Right, yes.
And you can attest to that. We had tried to talk about it before, and I had gotten so tongue-tied and I was unable to talk about it to where I actually had to leave the room.
Right, yeah. Maybe it would be good just to have, for the audio purpose this time, just a little background. That first audio wasn't meant for publication, and both of us, Jim and I, knew about that. It actually was, I would say, at the end of 2 years of you and I getting to know each other and developing a relationship, trust, sharing our own insights. And the thing I really want to note here, because we will probably get into it in this talk a bit, is that it became aware to me from being on the forum and reading different people's posts, but especially reading your posts, that I was sharing a lot of your same perceptual data. And so I started to share with you some of the remote viewing data I was getting, which was very surprising for me because it sort of started coming to me out of the blue. It wasn't something I was trained in. And you would start verifying it for me. And that was so valuable that it became for me a part of what I believe is what we're doing on the forum, is sharing our information in a free way. And I've seen, and I especially see it with the release of the last audio, was that you're overcoming the triggers, the implants, the overlays, the fear, all the things that you experienced from early childhood has allowed many others to open up and start to share their experiences. So I think this is going to be a bit of a continuation of that. Since then, I've also, like you, have had contact with people all over who are feeling for the first time they can speak. And so I just want to honor that as part of what we're doing, not just having this talk today, Jim, but also on the Project Avalon Forum. There's a bridge here, and I just want to make note of it, and then I'll hand it over to you. There seems to be a bridging happening between what are all of these human agendas, extraterrestrial agendas, AI agendas, our mythologies, we could name it, all the symbologies under which we're operating, all of the things that keep being brought up to the surface. And then there's the act or the understanding of our real spiritual nature. We could call it our quantum beingness, or we could call it how we are as beings of resonance. And that was, for me with you, was probably the most important part of feeling the connection, was understanding that you also have not only the experiential data, but you also have a broader picture of who we are as spiritual beings. So that's the broad brush context of perhaps what this conversation or this interview will be geared or progressing towards. Now, I'd like you to just say whatever it is that you might want to talk about to begin with, and just maybe leading in a little bit. A lot of people have asked about, because I made that comment, a lot of miracles happened in your life after publishing. And you've spoken on the forum about the entity detachments, but that wasn't included in our first audio, and I would wonder if you'd like to start there.
Okay. I was a little disappointed and that the entity attachment part was not in the last conversation that was released. Just because it's such a very important part of the process, mm-hmm. of what it is to be to be released from all of the programming and the mind control and the entities are a lot of the times involved in. Along with this technology, they're the gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. And after I started talking openly on the forum about it, in detail about the actual entity that I remote viewed in my light body, and then after I listened to Eve Lorgan?
Lorgan.
Is that right?
Uh-huh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and James Bartley in an interview about entity attachments, I remembered remote viewing that I'd done a year and a half earlier where I saw this being in my light body, and it made me forget it.
Mm-hmm.
and I was able to use some different tactics to will it out of my being. And that was in between two of our conversations that this happened.
Right.
And it went from me locking up and not being able to have conversations about certain things to being able to have a full conversation and being able, I could always access these memories, but I could not verbalize them.
Right.
And when I immediately, when I started writing about this on the forum, I was unprepared for the tsunami of emails and personal mails through Avalon that I received. And I was really caught off guard. How many people are dealing with this kind of thing? And, you know, there's been some that, you know, I've handled on my own, that I've been working with on my own, because people that have been through this are a very skittish bunch. They have major trust issues.
Of course.
And with me, knowing what I've been through, they have a little bit of a kind of a little bit of a trust, but a camaraderie, or you know, I've been through the same thing. So they will feel me out, see if I'm, you know, kind of vet me to see if I'm, you know, full of crap. And once, you know, I kind of vet them too. And once we fill each other out, then we'll have a conversation. And, you know, there's been people that I send to the way of the Avalon Healing Group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I don't think hardly anyone knows. People just see Avalon Forum and think it's just some forum where people go when they're bored to sit and hack around on the computer and talk about aliens and UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize in the background all the resources that Avalon has. They have all different types of energetic healers, remote viewers, counselors for people that have been through ritual abuse, my labs, and alien abduction, all these different types of things.
Right.
And I've referred people through you to the healing group, and there's always a place for people to find healing at Avalon that I've found.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I just underline that just to really put it forward what it is. It's all grassroots, too.
Yes.
Even though some people are very professional, we have a lot of professional healers and researchers on the forum.
They remain very anonymous.
Yes, they do.
In the forum, but a lot of this stuff goes on in the background.
Yes.
So people that are openly in the forum do not realize what all goes on behind the scenes.
No.
And I've gotten a little peek at it just from, you know, recently, you know, referring some people that are seriously in pain, under spiritual attack, or under attack, entity attack, all other different types of things. And I've seen the resources y'all have to marshal. And, you know, people need to know that there's more to Avalon than just some researchers or just some just a bunch of moderators sitting around with nothing else to do, watching over a forum.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the healers group is actually called Avalon 24/7. I think that's pretty adequate name. Right. Okay.
And it's 24/7 is exactly right.
Yeah.
I think you're all over the globe, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, all over the globe. And, you know, a lot of us realize that, you know, even in our sleep, we're actually being accessed and working. So it's a fabulous activity. I'll probably do something a little later. I'll do my own little talk about that in the next week or so. So thanks for mentioning it. I just
I know this was this is about my material, but
yeah.
I can't talk about the entity attachments and some of my material without mentioning that.
Sure.
Because I've been so inundated and overwhelmed with insiders and people that have been coming to me that I've had to, you know, offload and come to y'all.
Yeah. Well, it's really,
there's been some major, I've had some major insiders.
Sure.
One in particular that was active in one of the secret space programs that very few know about, called the Dark Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And very few have inside information, and I was excited about it. And for a short time, someone that will be remain nameless had released my full name out in public. Mm-hmm. And it caused this person to clamp up and remove themselves, and I haven't been able to talk to them again, and I was getting some really good information from them.
Right.
It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, so let's just underline that point here is that, you know, the information that you're sharing and a lot of the people that are talking, and it is literally mind-blowing. This is not, you know, what's happening right now. Those that are sharing privately and will feasibly share publicly at some point, the information is staggering in its implication. If you don't mind, just to underline, going back to the incident where the entities were detached from you, I think it might be nice if you just give a description of how that was accomplished, because there's a lot of people sitting out there right now listening and wanting to know. And then number two, I think there's something that happened outside of your expectations. I think you were wired, let's say, to think that if you spoke, really bad things would happen, and if in your estimation the opposite has taken place.
I was programmed with different kinds of triggers. Different people are programmed with different kinds of triggers.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes they don't know why, but they'll some things made me for some reason, I was just, beyond my personality, I was just angry, you know, making me angry, react angrily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have two children and a wife, you know, and I'm a real laid-back kind of guy, and it was just not my personality. And I would see certain materials online or that kind of thing, and there's different triggers, and people don't realize that you know, people can come onto a forum and it may look like they're on there to give a narrative that looks pretty interesting, but they're giving triggers on purpose. And it can cause people that are programmed with triggers, different kinds of triggers, to hurt themselves, hurt their family, to go as far as even murder or suicide. Mm-hmm. Or emotionally abuse people. There's a lot of different things. And, you know, I felt that if I were to push the boundaries, something like that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I had been warned off about some of the stuff I had spoken about very vaguely in some of my threads over the last few years, you know, to stop being so open.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was nervous about that. So now it's been close to 2 years ago, I had this weird urge to remote view my light body.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and I start remote viewing my light body. Because of the things I've been through, my light body is quite a bit further out than my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started from the bottom top, and I started moving, and I saw all these different orbs just at different frequencies resonating,
mm-hmm.
different colors, usually in the higher out of the Roy G. Biv spectrum, and the green, blue, indigo, violet,
mm-hmm.
color spectrum, and the overall background field color was kind of a yellowish color, that I was in. And so I was moving throughout the spheres, moving my way up. And I got about three quarters of the way up, and I saw a red sphere, smaller than the others, mm-hmm. and it wasn't vibrating. It was just out of place, sitting there. And I immediately, with my mind, I moved to it, and I looked at it. And I was like, what is this? And in my mind, I said, go transparent, what's inside? Mm-hmm. And about a 90-degree arc of a sphere, if you can picture that, mm-hmm. went translucent. And sitting inside of it was a being. And I was shocked, and it was probably twice as shocked as I was. And it looked like kind of like a hunchbacked frog. Hmm. But instead of a frog that's long ways, it was kind of like if you took a frog and squished it and made it perpendicular up and down. Mm-hmm. And we had a short dialogue. You know, it was like, you know, it was wanting to know how I knew about it. And you're not supposed to know about me. And I was, you know, I was asking, how long have you been here? And it was telling me, I've always been here. I've been here forever, your whole life. And he told me, you're mine. You belong to me. There was a long dialogue that I don't remember all of, but it told me, it said, you will forget me. And it held its long, skinny, looked like a dried up dead frog's arm, held it up. And I said, you will forget me. And I came out of the session and I told my wife, and back then, she, bless her heart, she's gone through a lot of awakening since then. She looked at me and was concerned. you know, she was like, that's really weird, honey. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I wouldn't tell too many people about that. And, you know, I was like, oh, I won't. And then I was immediately sorry that I told her. I was like, I shouldn't have said anything. And within 3 days, both of us totally forgot about it.
Right.
And it had told me also in there that I asked who it was, and he told me he was the gatekeeper.
Okay. Wow.
And after I watched, there was one of the members, I believe Sydney or someone, posted a video, and there were a whole bunch of videos about my labs and different stuff, but for some reason this one stuck out. Mm-hmm. So I played it, and about three quarters of the way through, it started talking about entity attachments. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, boom, I pictured that entity sitting in its sphere, and it looked like it was sitting inside of a, almost like it was a little self-contained spaceship. Mm-hmm. Sphere. And I felt it cringe. Hmm. As I remembered it. And then I remembered it, and I was like, holy crap. And then I remembered it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get rid of this sucker. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about, you know, you can will it out of your life with your free will. So I started doing that. I started willing, saying, I will you out of my life. I want you out of my life. And it was saying, you know, it's not going to be that easy. You know, you belong to me. And I kept doing that. And then I felt that it was gone. But I still didn't feel right. And for the next couple of nights, it was coming in my dreams and tormenting me and attacking me in my dreams. Mm-hmm. And I told Stacy about it. And this is going to be a part that a lot of people are going to have a problem with. And I know there's a lot of people that have their own beliefs and ideas about the name or the entity that was or was not Jesus. So I'm not going to get into any ideology of it.
I understand.
She said, did you think about evoking the name Jesus? And I said, well, no, I did not think of that. And she said, well, you should try that. And I had heard in some of the videos about my labs that people had done that and it had worked. And in some instances, you know, it had not worked, you know, and stuff. So I tried. The next night, I was attacked all night. And in the early mornings, I kind of came in out of a lucid dream and woke up after I was being attacked. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I banish all entities that are attached to my body, mind, and spirit. I close all portals or entrances into or out of my body-mind complex. I banish them from my family, the realm of my family, and from my home. And I started repeating it over and over with my eyes closed, mm-hmm. and immediately started seeing all these beings and groups of like 6 to 12 going shooting from my head and chest, wow. just above. And so I kept saying it over and over. And then I opened my eyes and I could still see them.
Wow.
And people have discussed with me what they were. People have said those sound like the djinn or whatever, but they had the head and shoulder outline of a human being and like the arms and then like black flames and smoke coming off the bottom part of them. Mm-hmm. And they were shrieking and screaming in terror and anger, and they were flying off of me in groups of about a dozen, and like this had tons and tons of them shot off of me. And after that happened, I got up and I felt a freedom like I have never felt before. My wife and kids were like, there's something different about you. You know, you're totally different. I had been diagnosed with PTSD. I didn't have to take most of the PTSD medicines, except for a little bit of medicine for anxiety. Our dog that always kept its distance from me now just will not leave me alone. It's all over me. Oh. And it's just the weirdest thing. And then the next time you came over, you tried one more time. You know, you were very gently trying to talk about things. And I just opened up and boom, it was like diarrhea of the mouth. It just came out.
Yeah. Oh, I can attest to the change in the energy field for sure.
Yeah. And it was like, we were like talking for like, I think 30 minutes. And I was like, do you realize like the difference? And you were like, yeah. You're like, no, I realize it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Every time we had gotten maybe 10 or 15 minutes into trying to talk about some of this stuff, I totally locked up, could not talk about it. Mm-hmm. Felt total fear, anxiety, pain, flashbacks of certain entities, certain things that were done to me. I would get flashbacks that were terrorizing, mm-hmm. and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And those are all gone. I've been able to talk about it and not have any of those problems since.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think it's really important people hear that, because a lot of people are in the same situation or worse than you have been. And to know that, always to know that there is a way out of it. Even if I know for you for a long time, it seemed like you never were going to get free of these things. and they were super suppressive. I mean, not just to you, but your whole family, and it's your great courage, really, for having withstood so much for so long. So thanks for sharing that. I'm also, as you're speaking, I'm realizing there's something you brought in there, which is about synchronicity. And would you say that, well, it's always probably been this case for you, but something I'm noticing and is how knowledge is power, or how when we have an expanded knowledge, or when we're out from under suppression, how we start to be able to expand. And I've certainly noticed an uptick in synchronicity. Like somehow you just get the information you need. Like you said on the forum, somebody posted something and you went right to it. Like there's something else operating here as more people are speaking that I just will dub it as synchronicity. Has that been the case for you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without all of the gatekeepers and... one of the things that I've talked about is... human beings, because of all of our genetic manipulation and because of who we are mentally and spiritually, we have a wider spectrum or band of emotions than most of the beings out there. Mm-hmm. And we have also a very extreme potential in our individual and combined consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about, you know, I mean, David Wilcock's books, The Source Field, a lot of people have read those. There's other researchers out there that have talked about, you know, how everything around us is vibration. Matter, energy, thought, it is all vibration of a different resonance. And consciousness interacts with those vibrations and can manipulate them. And our mass consciousness is what is creating our shared reality. And, you know, the powers that be know this, and this is the root power of their magic. They use television and movies to plant a seed of a negative seed of what they want to happen in the future. And then that becomes a part of our mass consciousness, which is a very powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And then they'll pull another incident, like a false flag or something else, that through fear we will go back to that seed, and our mass consciousness will remember that programming. Mm-hmm. and our mass consciousness will manipulate our shared reality and make it so we are the ones that actually end up casting that final spell in their magic and making it happen.
Right. Yeah, I'm so totally with you on my own understanding of that.
The cabal, the other entities that are around manipulating and watching us, they know our true potential and power. They are purposely dumbing us down about it, keeping us fighting each other, keeping us totally unaware of our true abilities, because they are very afraid of us. Mm-hmm. And they also are indignant towards us because of they see us as a lower life, kind of a lower has been gifted with supreme potentials.
Right.
And a lot of them are trying to splice those extreme potentials into themselves.
Right.
But there is a spiritual component to it that they just do not have that same bandwidth of spiritual component that it just will never work for them. Mm-hmm. They can get the genetics in there. They can get all the different things that we have, you know, physically, genetically, and all that. But if they don't have the right energetic, light body and energy about them to where they and their ability to have the emotional spectrum that we do, they're not going to have the ability to have the same consciousness abilities that we do.
Right.
Now, there's beings out there that have amazing consciousness and do amazing things and that are far superior and more advanced than us technologically and spiritually in some ways, but we have the potential to surpass them.
Right. Well, I couldn't agree with you more on what you're talking about here. And the one thing that I've formulated for myself I formulated it out of some experiential data and talking to a lot of other people, is that we have a potential to reach beyond. And it is the pure emotion. I mean, I've become very aware of the pure emotions, not the contrived, manipulated emotions, but the pure feeling nature that we actually do have in our spiritual nature. And there's a place they can't control us anymore, and that is in my mind, or the way I'm seeing things right now and feeling things, is the door towards our own freedom. Because as much as they map us, data mine us, hack us, there is what I could only call an eternal flame, and it does reach for freedom in a manner that they can't really abuse it. And I feel like that's what's happening in more and more consciousness on the planet right now.
Well, part of what's happened is we've been genetically manipulated on many occasions, and we've been genetically programmed to have a need to worship. Mm-hmm. And a need to seek some or someone to follow, a leader. As our consciousness expands, we are breaking through that genetic programming. Mm-hmm. And our consciousness is breaking through that genetic programming, and we're defeating it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, they worked really hard to program into us. They, you know, wanted us to look up to them, look to them to come save us, to be our saviors, and, you know, this and that. And and to dumb us down about our powers, to have the ability to manipulate and change our realities ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we just come together.
Right.
And they do not, that, you know, they're successfully keeping us from coming together over just petty things like the color of our skin. You know, that's just so stupid. I mean, it's the color of the upholstery of our skin. It's like, how stupid can that be? I mean, that's like, you know, you could have five couches sitting in the living room, and each one has a different colored upholstery, but they're all the same couch. Mm-hmm. You know, and people are sitting around arguing over, you know, which is superior. I mean, they've managed to segment us and divide us into ideology, racism, and all this, and it's all purposely done to keep us from coming together and realize our true potential and our joint reality, joint consciousness. And this has been done for a long time. I posted a video about our scientists, how way back in the 19th century, they were realizing that when they were observing their experiments, they realized that the individuals that were observing the experiments we're having a we're affecting the outcome of the experiment just by observing them with their consciousness. And depending on the perception or the how the person would think the outcome of the experiment would be, that would affect the outcome of the experiment. And you would think that the experiment should be the same every time, the outcome. And this led smarter and smarter people to start understanding about the consciousness, how it affects time, space, and all vibratory matter, energy, and thought. And from there, science diverged into what we have now is mainstream science, which is a very dumbed-down science and somewhat of a religion unto itself.
Yes.
And then we have the black ops science, which I got a good baptism into, which is quite a bit different and is based on totally different principles and a whole different math, different type of math system. And I said in the forum that if math is the universal language, then our scientists in the mainstream don't speak the language.
No, they're actually prohibited from speaking that language.
So. Yeah, they don't speak the right language because they're, you know, there's been all kinds of flaws found in even Einstein's equations, you know, his theory of relativity. There was a couple equations, you know, they found you just needed to flip over, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, he made some mistakes. And then some new mathematics were born, and I'm no math person, but there's some... I saw people writing out math on boards that were, it might as well have been hieroglyphics.
Right.
There were very few numbers involved.
Huh. Yeah, that's another subject actually for another time as different languages, because I'm actually studying a lot of that right now too, where, but we could talk about that at another time. And I'm just, you know, I'm listening, and it's an interesting phenomenon. It's almost like I'm hearing your words before you say them. And that's just an indicator for me that there's a field of intelligence that's available to us. And it's speaking to us all the time.
We have a joint consciousness.
Yeah,
joint
exactly.
Consciousness,
and exactly. And, yeah.
We're able to tap into it.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And that is our you know... Those are our, I will say, they're our inherited abilities. They're in all of us. And more people are waking up now and expressing that, or I say more beings are being activated. And so what I'd like to do is get into a little bit of what you've been, to turn on the other side of the consciousness table, as it were. Because here you're also talking about the secret space program. You mentioned the Dark Fleet earlier. How does all that tie in, and what are, in your opinion right now, the most important things for us as individual and group consciousness to become aware of so that we can do this experiment and we can start to change it? Because it is true that our consciousness is actually moving into the realities now and changing them. And I know that's where a lot of people that listen to you and write and ask you questions, they're asking about the AI agenda. We're talking about the black money magic cabal. There's a lot of things I've just written down some notes about, but just putting out a broad-based question to you, or how do you see this right now? What's happening out there in the Galactic Federation and the galactic politics and all of these races. How does that fit into what you just expressed?
Okay, yeah, that's just a small question.
Oh, I know. You know, I only know how to ask small questions. No, I know. You do the best. I mean, obviously, we're talking of something so vast that our human mind is still probably just on the edges of understanding.
Yeah, that one I can answer in chunks and stages.
Okay.
So yeah, people often ask me, you know, they're like, okay, I see all this information. What am I supposed to do about it? What can I do? Mm-hmm. People feel so small, or, you know, what am I supposed to do about it? You know, and we've all seen these reports of, you know, there was, I wish I could find it. There was this, just this one study of a very small, maybe like 1,700 people that did it all at the same time, did prayers and meditation the same time every day for a period of time, and they brought down the overall terrorism and crime on the planet by like 73%.
I've read that study. Actually, Greg Braden speaks about it, if you want to look it up later. And actually, there people are monitoring right now the vibration of the planet with these groups doing meditation. So they're making a science out of it, too. They're actually doing scientific studies.
Okay.
So I can post something when we post this. I'll post something with some information links, okay?
Yeah, and it's actually somewhere in that huge book of David's source field investigation.
Right.
It's somewhere in that book mentioned. But it's very... very, 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 very true.
Mm-hmm.
And you can become a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you, you sitting right there, looking at the computer screen right now, can make a choice. You can decide, I am going to spend, I'll start 10 minutes a day and work my way up 30 minutes a day. And, you know, try to get to maybe an hour or 2 hours a day
mm-hmm.
of just doing whatever type of meditation, of whatever religion I am, prayer, of pure, just being pure in that moment of prayer, of meditation, but thinking, meditating, praying for a positive timeline outcome for humanity
mm-hmm.
and thinking for the end of corruption and thinking for the end of suffering and focusing, I should say, instead of thinking,
mm-hmm.
focusing on the end of suffering, pain, and subjugation of all of humanity. If each and everyone that listens to this, and you get another person to do that, and we get groups that start doing that,
mm-hmm.
that is going to have a measurable effect.
Sure.
And that there's no need to pick up arms and you know, rush the gates of the nearest establishment. This is going to have more of an effect than that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you can do.
Right. And the one thing that I add to that is speak your truth and speak it clearly. Don't be intimidated by it. Inform yourself. Turn off television sets. You know, this all part of it, because we don't have an expanded consciousness by turning a blind eye to what the reality is being practiced on our planet. So I see it as a two-edged activity in a way, that one of the deep contemplation of our real reality, our real nature, which is actually peace-loving creative beings, and how we affect our planet, and how what you brilliantly spoke of in the beginning of our speaking here is how we are the final piece on creating the reality that we're living in is us. And so pulling off our coats, taking down our false ego identities and the crises that are around us, and rewriting them. And that is within our range of doing. And
we are the tool of the 0.001%.
Mm-hmm.
We are the tool of our own destruction and our own captivity.
Exactly.
You know, they're using our own power of the power of our own consciousness and the power of our own broad spectrum of emotions. They're using all of those gifts as tools to subjugate us, mm-hmm. tools against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to step outside and reclaim those gifts and use them as a shield and a sword in a nonviolent way, but in a way of truth and love, and as a way to be truly service to others,
mm-hmm.
and step outside of the system that we're living in, this Babylonian money magic system, to where all we care about is working, paying off debts, keeping up with the Joneses, having that nice car, having that 60-inch TV, watching shows about people that have all that stuff and wanting to be like them. That is all a huge trap.
Mm-hmm.
And you step outside of that trap and do what I'm talking about, and you become part of the solution instead of one of the victims.
Right. Or a pawn in the game. I mean, or as so many things, and maybe we can sort of segue into that right now, where we've been exploring, and a lot of information says that many of these superiorly advanced civilizations that have a presence on our planet right now see us as an experiment, the creator, supposed creator God, where they're experiment, or where we can actually speak of those that have come here to harvest us. All of those agendas, how do we actually see them and get free of them? And I know that's where you have a lot of information on that. And I do get very intrigued by what's the shadow government or the secret space program and all of these things that are operating just below our consciousness.
Yeah. And let me kind of break some of that down.
Okay.
Now, we have... there is... what we can call the shadow government, or the Five Eyes, the apparatus that is all about keeping control of everything going on down here on Earth, the keeping us, all the different nations in line, the individuals in line, keeping tabs on us, making sure that the financial system is locked down and everyone follows the Babylonian money magic system, money slave system, that keeps them occupied with that system. But above that are these multiple secret Earth governments.
Mm-hmm.
And these are more of like your Hydra kind of things. And the cabal is just like one tentacle of these secret Earth governments.
Okay.
They're more of the Earth part. These secret Earth governments are extremely powerful, and they have their own secret space programs. Or for instance, one group is entirely, well, and there's most likely two of these, are what we're referring to as interplanetary corporate conglomerates.
Okay.
And these would be like all these different defense contracting companies that compete with each other, but people that retire from boards will retire and then go on to this board that is like a super company board that manages this interplanetary super conglomerate,
mm-hmm.
which is its own breakaway civilization. And they own quite a many of these off-world colonies, industrial complexes, mining facilities,
mm-hmm.
A, most of the materials that they get for building the different things they build are mined completely off planet. So they're not sucking a whole lot of money off of the Earth to go into a lot of these programs. They're the people that are working on in or living in these colonies are pretty much slaves. They've been promised, hey, you and your family sign these papers. Y'all are going to be shipped to this. And they're shown videos of like these beautiful science fiction kind of things you'll see in the movies. This is what you're going to be living like. You're going to be living like the Jetsons. And you'll be, with your skills, you'll be building this part of a spacecraft or this part of a replicator type thing or this part of something else. There's so many things they build. And you'll be on this colony, on this planet or moon or this location. And so they get all these promises. And then so they get their whole family, they're shipped there. And then the reality sets in. They land in pretty much a totalitarian environment where everyone's walking around pale, dreary, unhappy. They're escorted at gunpoint to like an 8x10, 8x8 living quarters for them and their entire family. And then they're given rosters for what them and their entire family will do. And they live there for the rest of their lives. They have arranged marriages for their kids as they grow up. It's not good.
No.
So they're not paid money. You know, they're given a place to, you know, live and food, and they work. And it's horrible. And these people do the labor. And these people mine asteroids and asteroid belts. They mine materials on different planets. And the raw materials are taken to other outposts and facilities where they are turned into usable materials and manufactured. And very little money actually goes into building these different things. So I see a lot of times people talking about how many trillions of dollars are going into certain parts of the space program. And a lot of this is just materials that are mined and retrieved off-world and being built by slave labor. So.
Can I ask a question? Because I don't have it clear. Is this information that you've been given by insiders or remote viewing or your own experiences?
My own experiences. When we would, when the research vessel, we would sometimes, the scientists would be needed to be brought to some of these colonies. They were different than any of the other outposts or colonies that we went to. When we arrived, as soon as we arrived, there were 4 to 6 armed guards. They escorted us directly to the point where the technicians were to do their work. And there was no staying overnight. There were never any invitations to tour the facility. We were told not to speak to anyone and then escorted straight back. And then, this was information I was told about the environment of the corporate colonies. And I was told that the corporate colonies, the 13 original, they had 13 original colonies and outposts. They wanted to make sure that there was never a revolution or a situation that happened like in the creation of the United States. So it was from the very beginning, it was a totalitarian, locked down, very oppressive situation.
Okay. Seems to be a repetition of the number 13 important. My other question is why, well, who's doing this? I mean, we were talking about an industrial corporation or complex. And why are they using humans for labor when they probably could be using automated?
They also had clones there.
Okay. Right.
But these were people that were extreme. They had brought in, a lot of them had been there from like 60s, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Had been brought in and had been there a long time. And their numbers had grown quite a bit just from the population growth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had seen obvious clones, people that looked exactly the same, carrying like not really boxes, but crate kind of boxes around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think there's that many quadruplets or whatever you call them.
Right.
You know, but they were obviously, you know, clones. But I think that the human labor, they were easier to control, train using the methods of the quick neurological training, where you set someone in front of those curved screens, give them an injection, and show them a video that's real quick, a whole bunch of information overlaid, going real quick, and it goes into your brain at a very high rate. Gives you, I've had it done to me, it gives you a headache, makes you nauseous, but you take in an incredible amount of information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this was used quite a bit on these people.
Okay.
To train them, and probably also to train the clones or whatever.
Right.
But that at that point, that, you know, that's what these people were doing. Why they weren't using robots, I don't know, but a lot of it could go back to a lot of the their probably fears or being careful of AIs or infiltration of different AI kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it just comes to my mind as you're speaking that there's certain things that the human body type can do that other types of bodies can't. So. You know, it would make sense that they would actually.
And humans are very, very adaptable, very good engineers. That there's a lot of one of the things that the actual Solar Warden is a older secret space program.
Mm-hmm.
They're and kind of one of the more aging groups out there, technology wise. They were put out there to pretty much police the solar system for incoming, outgoing visitors. There are literally thousands of different groups that are coming in. We're kind of along a kind of like Silk Road, Galactic Silk Road. Of travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings are highly sought after for many, many different reasons. We're a commodity. Mm-hmm. And the group that I was talking about, and this is going to sound strange, but human beings have become very well known for our engineering and production of advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
And this corporate group doesn't only produce technology and products for the secret space programs, but they also produce it for off-world groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I can't follow that, and it's fascinating. And so these groups, and then one question was, are these corporate groups, whatever you want to call them, the just call them power brokers for the sake of a word, are they human? Are they extraterrestrial? Are they demon? Am I breaking up?
Yeah, you're breaking up, but yeah, they're human.
Okay, they're human. So they're human, Earth-based.
Yes.
It's just called a secret space program that is farming and getting resources from off-world. And they're using humans to, part of their deal is to use a human to do that.
They're a very opportunistic group. Mm-hmm. They keep and save a lot of the most advanced toys for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have most of the most advanced toys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do you have an idea of who they are? I mean, we talk about, you know, obviously the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the, you know, the Soros of the world, you know, the big money people that are the faces out there. They're all pretty well known. What's behind that?
Those are all the people down here on the, okay, there's a, right now there is what is referred to as a shadow civil war going on.
Okay.
And that's going on amongst some of the secret space program. Some of what we call the white hats in the secret space program and their allied off-world groups that are in league with them think that it is high time that the technologies that have to do with harmonic healing of the human body, free energy, technologies that will do away, help cleanse the earth of certain pollution and damage that's been done,
mm-hmm.
be released to humanity. The issue is that once this is done, it will nullify and do away with any need for a financial system. There will be no need for the Babylonian money magic slave system. That's a big problem for the, that's what's going on above. And then below, we have a major war going on over the global financial system,
mm-hmm.
between the BRICS groups, the Western cabal, and some other groups, and the different dragon groups, fringe groups that are all fighting over control of a different variations of a global financial system, which will be based on a debt system, which is just going to be another mask of a Babylonian debt slave system.
Mm-hmm.
And what it all comes down to is what happens with this shadow civil war and what happens with this extreme, and they know that there's an extreme awakening happening on the planet among people.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them have openly been talking about it,
mm-hmm.
about humanity's awakening at an alarming rate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them think that we're awakening too late, but it's not. As we're awakening, many of us are wondering, what do we do with this awakening?
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about start focusing your intent, focusing your consciousness,
mm-hmm.
on a joint changed reality,
mm-hmm.
to where these negative forces have no place in this new reality that we're focusing on.
Well, let's just break for a second here. There's some questions I want to ask you regarding your own visions, because what I'm talking about is imagery and visionary qualities that we have. But before we get into that, because that may be the question for the end of this particular part, of course, anything you want to speak of too, please bring it up. The one thing that we're always been looking at, all of us that are doing this work, is the artificial intelligence. And I've had my own run-ins with them. I've had my own understandings of it. It's as varied as there are conscious levels. I know you have a lot of experience and you've been trained to be looking for those. They come in any manner of things. I mean, we could talk about the bots. We could talk about the scuttlers that come through computers. We can talk about embedded thoughts. We can talk about constructed paradigms or constructed holographs that people fall into. I mean, there's a huge, huge thing, but in general, we've also are talking about, I guess, a lot of the chemtrailing and the nanotechnologies and the co-opting of the human body so that these artificial intelligences can run us. All of that comes under that category. And I think it's important to address it from your perspective, the dangers, and also how to recognize it. And then I'll have another little question along that line.
Okay. I have absolutely no information or knowledge about chemtrails other than I have seen them myself. Mm-hmm. and what I've read online. I've seen all different types of ideas put forth about them, so I have nothing to offer there that would be other than speculation. I want to stay away from speculation.
Right. Okay.
The AI thing was has really been focused on a lot from my last talk. It was something that was clearly a very it was something that was very concerning to the off-world groups and to the various programs. You were always screened. You would go through questioning to, ask if you, I don't remember all the different questions. They would ask you questions. Some of them would be innocuous questions that had nothing to do with it, and some of them would be keyed-in questions.
Mm-hmm.
But, things like, have you seen shadows in the sight of your vision peripherally? That could or could not have had something to do directly with the AIs. It may have been one of the tests or ambiguous questions, mm-hmm. but there was a list of questions that they would always ask you. But one of them was, have you seen, the spider kind of things? If you see the spider kinds of things, that isn't them trying to infect you. That means you are infected.
Mm.
You have been infected. So they would ask you all these different things. Are you often, even though you're wearing rubber shoes or in an electrostatic on an ESD floor,